This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week,
but
you may be,
but I'm not. You're hungry? Hey, Ma, bring us some meatloaf.
You don't think this is the greatest? I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw off that.
One time for the killers. Double up for them gangsters.
Just live in the dream.
I have been wanting to get involved with the Chicago Bulls.
I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my bearings.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewinthal. With me, as always, is the doctor.
How you doing, buddy? Hey,
great. I'm doing great.
After last night, so this is part one that you're going to hear. Part two, we also have an FYI recorded just after the previous victory. This was recorded on Saturday. We recorded one on Thursday, right after the. Who did we beat on Wednesday night?
It was the Nets.
Yeah, exactly. The Nets victory. Obviously, it went over Portland, much more impressive. And, you were so excited you wanted to add something to this.
Against Portland, Derek was Derek. Derek was as close to MVP Derek I have seen since MVP Derek. I mean, you know, this is the first time he scored plus 30 points since I think it was March of 2012. You know, the Portland Trail Blazers are a hell of a team. And, you know, this is a great team, a great victory. It was extremely exciting to watch two players in Lillard and Rose, who are the best players at their position, just having like a shootout. I mean, this was like a classic shootout.
Well, first of all, how about Aldridge yesterday? I mean, that was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to minimize, you know, Lillard's play. He was phenomenal, too. And Rose was as close to an MVP as he's been. You're absolutely right with that assessment. But, oh, my gosh, that guy was awesome in the first half. I was looking up, unfortunately, you're reminded that we, you know, traded for, you know, traded him for Tyrus Thomas. In case you're wondering, is opened up a business in Baton Rouge. So that's what he's doing right now.
Is that what he's doing right now?
He's out of the NBA, yeah.
I was wondering that yesterday. But you know what? That is the worst Paxson move of all time. You know, to be fair, I do remember Aldridge coming out of college. He was a very lanky guy, but I will say, look, Texas was great when Aldridge played for them. He certainly had a much bigger impact on Texas. He was a much bigger name player throughout the season in the NCAA than Tyrus Thomas was. I didn't like the move at the time. You know, what's great now, Fred, is that we've been doing this thing for so long. You think about it. We started doing this in 2007. Now it's 2014. Most NBA careers don't last 7 years. Some do, but most don't. And what's amazing is that at this point in our show, you can kind of go back and listen to what we thought at that time. And I remember both of us thought this was the most ridiculous thing in the world when they got Tyrus Thomas.
I don't recall feeling that. I don't. I guess we'd have to go back. I remember being really impressed with – I mean, it's hard not to. Tyrus Thomas was an incredible athlete. He was an absolute monster as far as the shot blocker goes. He just was, you know, a complete moron. And he didn't have the want to or desire to be the best that he could be on a basketball court. It just didn't move him enough. And I always remember being frustrated watching Tyrus Thomas basically walk. I think Skyle said it best in that, you know, in that one aside where he basically was forced to apologize for it. But it was true where he said, you know, something to the effect of, you know, he doesn't go hard at all. You know, he doesn't go hard, doesn't run the court. I wish he would do that once. And I always felt that. I always felt Tyrus Thomas basically played from free throw line to free throw line. And there were many, many times where I saw him not even run, you know, the length of the court. And that's exactly what he should have been doing. He was a freak athlete. He had all the tools in the world, and he just didn't have it. You know, you got to have it mentally. And Tyrus Thomas was pretty far from having that aspect.
Right. If you remember that draft, Brad, nobody projected Tyrus Thomas in the top five. We were the only team that people were talking about. I haven't seen this in a draft since, where it was like, this team is so enamored with this player who has no business being anywhere near that under any other circumstance. But everyone knew that we wanted Tyrus Thomas. We made it very known. You knew before the draft even started.
I don't know if that's accurate. He had a great run in the tournament, and he he had incredible measurables. I mean, he was a elite athlete. And,
but he's a tweener, dude. If we have not learned something so far as basketball fans, tweeners as a whole are not successful, as a whole. You do not go, if you, LaMarcus Aldridge is always a back-to-basket, you know, classic-style big man. I would take that any day, a very successful one at that, over a guy who's, you know, jumping leaps and bounds, because I don't care how many shots you block in college, it's college. When you're doing things because of your athleticism, you do have to weigh down the fact that it's college. Like, if it, you know, raw skill matters, and when you're very raw, and you can't do things like shoot the basketball, and you can't do things that normal NBA guys can do, and it's just because you're relying on speed and athleticism, that's not good enough. Intangibles, in my opinion, are not something that you draft for. Big mistake in that regard, but you're right. That was, I mean, there's no reason to talk about Tyrus Thomas right now, but LaMarcus did play great last night. It would have been great to see him in a Bulls uniform, but, you know, who knows how things would have turned out then? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we probably wouldn't have ended up with Derrick Rose if we got LaMarcus Aldridge.
And how great is that? I don't know. Who knows?
Things probably wouldn't have gone that far south. So,
you know, in regards to, you know, obviously there's been a lot of drama with Derrick over the years now, but recently
I would never, ever, you know, go back in time and say I wouldn't want Derrick Rose. He brought me a ton of joy his first 2 years in the league, and his third year he got us to the Eastern Conference Finals almost by himself. You know, let's be honest, especially when it comes to offense, it was without Derrick, we would have been nowhere near the finals, Eastern Conference Finals. You know, so I don't at all regret that. And, you know, the last few years have been frustrating, but you know, hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. I think we're seeing it. If he can just stay, I kind of always felt like if he was 90% of himself before, that's what it would take for us to be win a title. I think all we need is 80 now. You got Jimmy Butler playing at 100, you know, like an all-star level. You got Gasol at an all-star level. You just need Derek to have a couple of those moments in a game where he approaches that MVP level, and we'll be there. And we can win it with that, I feel
like it's, you know, it's just when we start talking percentages, I don't like saying 80, 90. Who knows what that really is? I mean, it's clear to me right now, I don't think Derek is the athlete he was, you know, his MVP season. Not to say that he's not a good athlete. He's still a very good athlete. But you haven't seen the hop. You've seen very good hops, but not to the same degree. However, he seems like a smarter player. And he's still just as aggressive. You see guys like Kobe, for example. I mean, when you watch Kobe play, Kobe in time, yeah, he's lost a little bit of skip in his jump, but he's still extremely fast. He's still very athletic. I think we can get that from Derek. I think it is very realistic to think that Derek can be extremely good. However, he might be a step or two off in terms of, you know, how high he can jump or, you know, how, you know, the soaring dunks and things like that. But frankly, you take that away a little bit and you add smarts to the game, which he seems to have now, a little bit more smarts in terms of what he can do and what he can't do, you're going to be a better basketball player. And what we saw yesterday, see, Derek can't just be another point guard. He has to be an elite point guard. And we saw it yesterday. When you draw the date, when this is Derek's team, the problem so far since Derek's come back is he hasn't asserted himself to that degree where it's like, this is the Derek Rose show, and I'm gonna make everyone else's places known based upon how I play. It's a different dynamic when you're coming in and you're helping other people, when you're creating shots for everyone else, than when you come in, you establish your dominance. People start to defend you differently, and then you start dishing the ball out to all these weapons that you have on this team. All these weapons are incredible. But when Derrick Rose establishes himself as the dominant player on the court, this team can't be stopped. Because that's when defenses are focusing on him, you have so many weapons now that can kill you. We have to do that. That has to continue. Rose has to keep being this aggressive. My favorite play of the season so far, this was New Jersey, right when he started going, right when Rose started getting his wicker back in his basket. He took that fake three, and then he passed it to Gasol on the give and go. It was incredible. And I mean, just, and then you see yesterday, I think he only took two threes all game. He was averaging six. I mean, we go into this at nauseam in the next show, or the one that they're going to hear after this. But Rose yesterday took two, and he was freaking deadly. I mean, the floater was insane. And the fact that people don't know who to defend. And what's amazing, there was one play yesterday where Rose missed a floater, Gasol got the rebound, everybody moves to Gasol, and then he dishes it right back to Rose for another quick floater. Do you remember that play?
Yep.
And, I mean, it's just people don't know how to defend us. That's why we beat the Portland Trailblazers. They came back yesterday. And keep in mind this, too. The Portland Trailblazers, at least at the half, I didn't look at the box score at the way, way, way end. The Portland was, like, outscoring us by, like, 8% in field. Their field goal percentage was about 8% better than ours. But we had forced, like, 8 turnovers. And you know, we were beating them by 10 points when they were shooting, like, 50% to our 41%. I mean, the fact is, you're doing something right. If they're shooting that well and you're beating them by, like, 10 points, you're doing something right, and it's the fact that we had in our depth. Portland's not a skinny team. They are a deep team. I mean, in terms of the NBA, they're about as deep as anyone, but they're not as deep as us.
Well, the most exciting thing I thought about last night was that Thibodeau finally got a little bit creative in the fourth, and he played for a good 5-6 minutes with Aaron Brooks and Derrick Rose in the backcourt.
Yes.
And I haven't seen that all year. You know, I don't recall seeing it for an extended period of time all year. He's just so stubborn that won't work, that can't work. Well, it absolutely worked yesterday because of that backcourt with Brooks and Rose. I mean, they just had no answer for it. They were scoring at will. They couldn't stop them. And it was kind of like I always wanted to see Nate and Rose together. I thought that would have been a really exciting combo. I know everybody's going to say, well, what about on a defensive end? I'm just talking about offense. It's a very difficult thing to stop when you have two perimeter players like that can cause so much havoc. And then to actually see it happen for 5 minutes and to see it work really well against a quality team that was 10-0 against the East was so freaking exciting. And then around the 4-minute mark, he comes in with Heinrich. And I'm just like, you know, you got to be stinking kidding me. That guy is such a wet dish rag coming in the game. And, you know, right away the momentum stops in the offensive end. I understand Heinrich's a better defender than Aaron Brooks. And Brooks, you can only use in limited situations. You're not gonna be able to always do that. You're not gonna be able to do that against like in New Jersey if you got Joe Johnson at the shooting guard position. But to see him do it yesterday, to see it work, and then for no reason really at all to pull him out and put in Heinrich, it just drives me nuts, you know. But you know, that said, he still did it. He still played it for 5 minutes.
He still did it.
Still worked. You see him growing a little bit there. The Bulls finally have three guys that can command the double team in Gasol, Jimmy Butler, Rose. You got a guy in Taj Gibson who's got an excellent post game, although he was awful yesterday, although he finished up a little bit stronger. I thought he played terrible in the first three quarters. You got an exciting young player like Mirotić. He's just killing it, playing really good, valuable minutes, you know, and I think doing a great job.
How good is he going to be? I mean, this is what we're seeing now. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I know. The guy's got skills that are just insane. I mean,
insane.
He's got Dirk Light skills. I mean, a guy could shoot anywhere in a court.
Anywhere.
That's what's so exciting. I mean, right when you stop right there and you think, you got a guy to guard the guy out 30 feet, that's extremely difficult. And if he could develop a post game where he can take smaller defenders down low, bring the bigger guys out, he's going to be unstoppable. He's that good. I think he's, you know, I don't, obviously Dirk Nowitzki's a Hall of Famer. He's not going to approach him, but I see.
Well, who knows? I mean, who knows? Who knows? All I'm going to say is who knows?
Dirk
Nowitzki
has a post.
You're absolutely, like,
in the NBA.
Well, you're absolutely right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, Mirotić hasn't gotten a shot yet. He's just starting now. He shows enough talent where you're like, okay, this guy could really be something special.
Absolutely.
I mean, his defense has improved dramatically as the season's gone on. He's become a much better rebounder as the season's gone on. He's become a more efficient shooter. And like you said, man, his range is there is no range. I mean, he could shoot from anywhere on the floor. I mean, literally anywhere on the floor. I have not seen a lot of players like that who could just shoot the ball from 10 feet beyond the three-point line. I mean, whenever
it's
he
like,
shoots it,
yeah.
I don't
like
worry.
Steph Curry. I mean, I'm not saying it's like Steph Curry, but I was thinking about this the other day. The guys I hated to guard when I played were the guys you had to guard out 35 feet who were so quick they could beat you to the hoop, but you still had to respect them at the three-point line. You know, so that's why Steph Curry is so stinking awesome. He can do it all. He can get to the hoop, he can score, and then he can also, you got to guard him out that far. It's just impossible to guard a guy like that. You know, a guy like Mirotić, if he gets that post game, is going to be just impossible to keep a handle on. It's like Kukoc at his prime. I mean, he'll post you up if you're too smaller, and you got to guard him out to that line if you're a big guy, and that's only going to help the other players on the floor. Nothing but good things ahead, man. If we could stay healthy, I mean, I don't think, I said this on Twitter, I don't think we'll lose a game in January. This is typical Bulls where they start out, you know, some under Thibodeau, you know, they have some rough periods initially.
Yeah.
Or they have in the last couple of years, you know, been around 500. Last year was obviously a completely different story where they lost several games and were, you know, under 500. But it always seems like in January is their best month. They really play well in that month, you know, right before the All-Star break too. And I fully expect them to do the same right here. I think they're going to go on a nice little run.
Yeah, and now a nice little run takes on a whole new meaning because this team is infinitely better than any team that we've had in the past with Thibodeau. I mean, it doesn't come close. And I mean, and Thibodeau knows what he's doing.
I don't think it's infinitely better than you know, the bench mob and a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But it doesn't to be. It doesn't have to be because, frankly, the Eastern Conference isn't as good as it was then. I don't think
I'm going to disagree. I think that it's as good as who else with the bench when the bench mob was bench mobbing. You had Miami. Who else? Indiana wasn't there yet. Boston was done.
Indiana was starting out their run. The Celtics were still a challenge at that point. They were still a good team, and Atlanta gave some problems in the second round of that series.
Oh, come on. Atlanta's better now.
Boston was still a good team at that point.
Yeah, but they were at the end, man. You have, like, five good Eastern Conference teams right now. There was no team. Look, you had Boston and then no one else.
You're really afraid of Toronto, especially?
I'm afraid. I don't want to say, look, I think we're a really good team. To say, am I afraid of? Well, I mean, I think our team is a team that can win 60 games. You know, we're a really good team. Do I think that Washington's a really good team, too? I think Washington's a great team. I think they're a very good team. I think Toronto's a good team. I think that we underrate them because they're Toronto. They don't have that marquee player, but they have a lot of great players. I think that they're a very good team. You know, I think the East is good enough. I think the East is definitely better than it was. Well, it's a tough call. I mean, Miami was great. I mean, Cleveland
Miami,
is yet to show them to be what Miami was. They're not that yet. But we think Cleveland's probably pretty freaking good. If Cleveland ends up being around where Miami was, the East is better now. For sure, because we're good. So because we're good and Cleveland's good, we've got like four other good teams.
The 2011 Miami Heat were much better than the Cleveland Cavs. So I'm saying the mountain isn't as high as it was then. So that's all I'm saying. You know, I'm saying
but you have a lot more peaks.
I think the Bulls are better now. I do. I do think they're a better team. You know, I think Korver was probably the only guy on that team that I felt like in 2010-11 who was, you know, a guy I'd really like on this team. You know, I think everybody else is, I mean, well, it's, you know, you have similar players. You got Noah and Taj, who are both better now than they were then. You got, you know, Gasol, who was clearly better than Boozer. I don't know if people even made that argument, you know. Well, Boozer, his first year, yeah, he was good, but he wasn't anywhere near Paul Gasol. I just can't believe this conversation still goes on. You know,
I loved watching him last night. I certainly loved watching Carlos Boozer last night because it made me remember. It was like, man, Paul Gasol is so much better than you are.
It's unbelievable.
He's worth your contract, and then you know whatever it was to amnesty you on top of that. Like that's what he's worth.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And actually, that's what basically come out to be, isn't it? I mean, when you figure it out, Celtics signed him for five, right, or somewhere around there. Basically, I mean, we're probably paying a little bit more, but Gasol is on such a good deal that, you know, it's not like we're getting killed or it's that much more than we would have been paying just to have Boozer on the team and not have Gasol.
No, and Gasol, I mean, he brings an element to your team that, I mean, he brings a championship-caliber element, and I'm going to say this. I would take Gasol right now over Garnett when he won with Boston. I would take Gasol. Gasol right now is playing about as good as he's played in his entire career. I mean, yeah, he was, I mean, in his prime,
true.
He was a little bit better. But, I mean, look, per minute, you know, when he's on the floor, he's not playing as his minutes are down. But when he plays, which he plays a lot, but, I mean, his minutes are down from what they were like in his prime. I'm assuming he was averaging like 36, 37 at one point. I think that he's just as productive when he plays, and you see that he thrives in situations with good teams. He doesn't care about his stats. His stats just come to him. He's that good that his stats just come to him. If he was somebody that wanted to fill up a stat sheet, I wonder what his stats would be because he is so talented. It's night and day. It gives such a great element to this team. I'm extremely excited about where we are right now with this team. Extremely excited. The most optimistic that I've been probably ever with Derrick Rose. And I mean, that is great because, you know, we had those few down years, and it was difficult where, you know, we always supported D. Rose. But, I mean, you think about it, man, D. Rose is already 26. I mean, You only got a couple more years where you can even possibly think that D. Rose is in his prime. I mean, it's going to go by lightning fast, and his career is going to be over, and he's probably not going to have, you know, the accolades of, you know, guys like Kobe Bryant or things like that. I mean, obviously, he's probably not, but I think that he could still have a hell of a career. And what, like you said earlier, what an amazing, I absolutely am happy that we got him over Aldridge just for, well, not over Aldridge, but that we got him with the mix of events. That it's all fine. Despite the last 2 years, it's all fine. And watching him play now, it's that much more gratifying. I mean, it's like, I think we're all rooting, you know, real Bulls fans are rooting for D. Rose. We all want D. Rose to do great. And when we watch, when he does it, it's like watching your kid ride a bike, man. Like, they keep falling off the bike, and then all of a sudden they're riding that bike. And it's like, we've been watching this guy for his entire career since he was a kid, and he disappeared for 2 years. And now he's back, and, you know, we're all hoping on him being that guy that he was once before again. And it's just very satisfying to watch what the progression of him this year, especially these last two games. I hope this continues. I think it will. I feel very confident. He's become a high-percentage efficient basketball player again, which is what he was not doing earlier in the year. That's the difference. You know, you play efficient basketball, you cut into the lane, you know, you're taking easy shots, it's going to change everything for everyone.
Yeah, a couple interesting things about Gasol I did want to mention. He's actually averaging, what's interesting, if you look at his minutes per game in his career, you know, he started out 36, 36, 31, 32, 39.2 was his high in 2005 and 6 with Memphis. He was an all-star that year. 36 minutes, 35 minutes, 36.7. Then he goes to L.A. in 2007 and 8. He averages 34 his first year. Then for three straight years, he averages 37 minutes per game on the dot. 37.0. All three of those years, he made the All-Star team. 2011 and 12 with the Lakers, 37.4. Then he goes 12-13. He goes down to 33.8, 31.4 last year. And then this year he's averaging 35.7, so it's back up. But and he hasn't averaged that, you know, since basically 2007 and 8 with Memphis. But he's averaging, believe it or not, right now he's tied. He's averaging more field goals and more field goal attempts than at any time in his career, including with Memphis, which is very interesting. I thought, you know, so he's taking more shots than he ever has, and he's making more shots than he ever has. So, you know, he's not slowing down, let's just put it that way. Pretty, I mean, the guy's been just godsend. So you can't say enough good stuff about him. Hey, I got to hit the ground running. We've already been doing 25 minutes, bud. We're going to have like a two-hour show with the other one on top of it.
Real fast, though. Kobe Bryant breaking Jordan's record, which is going to happen. It didn't happen last night, but it's going to happen. What do you make of it?
I don't really make anything out of it. I mean, you or I could have broken a record if we take enough shots. I think he's taken 400, 500, I don't know, many, many more shots than it took Michael to hit that total of points. So, I mean, hey, it's a great thing to achieve. I'm not trying to say that Kobe's a bad player, but the guy's shooting under 39% this year, and I saw him, you know, bitching and complaining about his teammates, and that's all I needed to know about Kobe Bryant. I just think the guy is, he was clearly, I don't know how many times I have to say this, but, you know, he was a second fiddle for his first three rings. He won the last two, you know, going the last one he won, he was shot 6 for 24 in the game 7. And he clearly, to me, wasn't the MVP of the finals, although they handed it to him. He's got two MVP finals. He's not even in Jordan's stratosphere. And anybody who thinks so is just dumb and just a jackass.
What do you think about him ratting out his teammates the other day, though?
I thought it was ridiculous. I mean,
that's what I thought.
Yelling about his players, and I go, and I looked up the stats. The guy was shooting 39%.
He doesn't practice. And he doesn't practice.
Yeah, how about you look in the mirror, Kobe? I mean, for goodness sakes, Nick Young, you know, makes a three-pointer to win the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the video on, you know, get me the ball, whatever, what he's saying. I mean, I think the guy is, he is such an inferior player to Jordan. It's just unbelievable. He's not even in the room. I don't even think he's better than LeBron. I think LeBron's a, excuse me, far superior player than Kobe Bryant. He really is. I don't have Kobe in my top 10 all time.
You do right now see a lot of love for Kobe, because this is like, a monumental point of his career. And it's like, you know, there, you see people making their rankings. And in the rankings that I saw yesterday, I think this is Jalen's rankings, he was like number 8. And I think it's fair to put him around there. However,
Jalen didn't even have LeBron in the top 10.
No, but I mean, I get it at this point. You know, whatever. It's TBD. I mean, this is all players whose careers, we're looking at Kobe's body of work because we feel his body of work is pretty much complete. So it's like, where does his body of work lie? LeBron's body of work is still being written, so I'm okay with that. But the drop between, you know, when you're in that upper tier, the drop starts to get much greater when you're at that upper tier. Between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3 and 3 and 4, there's a much greater drop. Yeah, you can't compare the two players. I mean, with what Kobe's doing right now to this team, he's shooting the ball terribly. You saw it yesterday, man. They lost that lead. Kobe was taking terrible shots yesterday. Especially with Nick Young was playing great. You could have been dishing Nick Young. You were commanding double teams. I mean, people were all over you. Why aren't you giving the ball to the other players and letting them kind of create? I mean, at the end of the game, the Lakers, they won the game. But, I mean, that game should not have gone to overtime. They were extremely lucky to win it in overtime. The Spurs had some bad misses, but Kobe Bryant was just when he came back into the game, he came back with about 6 minutes left in that game yesterday, and I felt like that was when things kind of went south for them because he just started just missing shots. And I mean, you know, he made one shot.
He was 7-22. Terrible. Hey, I'm not a Kobe hater. I realize he's one of the best players of all time. You'd have to be foolish not to understand how talented he is, but his fans I find so obnoxious and so frankly, the vast majority of them, pretty stupid. Pretty incredibly stupid that I've got to the point where I'm like, no, he's not even in the same, you know, it's got to the point where I feel like I have to call it the way I see it. And he's not even really close. He's really not. I think there's players like that are, you know, guys like Clyde Drexler, you know, that
come on. The longevity.
He's a lot closer to Kobe than Kobe is to Jordan. That's all my point is.
That's fine. Because you got to keep in mind, Kobe, the thing that Kobe's going to always have at the end of the day is the rings. And we have to look at the fact that two things. How did he play when they did not have rings? When those teams were bad, Kobe was a giant baby. I mean, he was a huge distraction every time they were bad. He wanted out the last time they were bad. He wanted to come to Chicago for the whole thing. I mean, every time they've been bad, he's wilted. He won his first three titles. His career would look a lot different if he didn't play with Shaquille O'Neal. You take out Shaq. He wins two titles. People don't all of a sudden say, my God, he's in Jordan's stratosphere. The only reason they do is because he has 5. But you did win 2. Look, he was clearly the best player in the league when he won those 2 championships. But it says something. He's only won 1 MVP award, man. He's won 1 MVP award when it was clear that he was clearly the best player in the league. Unlike like the you can make a debate with LeBron and Durant. I mean, LeBron's the best. But there's a debate. When Kobe was the best, there was no debate. I mean, you had LeBron at like 19 years old, 20 years old, or whatever. I mean, he wasn't LeBron James yet. He was good, but he wasn't what he became. Kobe had no competition. And yet he only won 1 MVP. Steve Nash won 2 MVPs during the period of time that Kobe Bryant was peaking in his career. That says something.
Yep. No, I agree. I got to hit the road, brother.
All right, big guy. Until next time, Vinny Bulls.
Hey, basketball. All right, man.
All right, talk to you later.
I'll get up tonight. Take it easy.
Sounds good, man.